drug war and these billions of dollars that we're spending down this black hole.
And also the role of the pharmaceutical companies who don't want to lose the business. That because are you finding that your patients prefer to use the medical marijuana rather than the pharmaceuticals that are available to treat the same conditions?
Absolutely. Because it doesn't leave them zombies. Hmm. You know, and most of these really heavy-duty narcotics that the doctors prescribe leave you unable to function otherwise.
And if you can function, it's just very difficult for your organs, your kidneys and liver, to break down and function. They're just very harsh. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm an educator, and I really believe in educating people, and I think if people want to know more about the medical uses, you know, this is a fine book. There are several books out there, but this is called Marijuana Medical Handbook, A Guide to Therapeutic Use. Is that right?
Yeah, just that way.
That way? Yeah, A Guide to Therapeutic Use. And this is a book by Ed Rosenthal, Dale Geringer, and Dr. Todd Micaria. And I find this very helpful, and I often lend it out to people. And there are plenty of books that people can go to the store and pick up.
Mm-hmm. And you also brought something else?
Yeah,
here.
I also brought this is a copy of Prop 215. I had these laminated because I know that they're definitely keepers. That's an original ballot to get enough signatures to get Prop 215 on the ballot.
And Santa Cruz County did very good with their signature.
Yeah, we did very well.
Here.
We did, Kate. Do you know how the percentage? I know it was overwhelming.
I don't.
In the state. I don't know about Santa Cruz, though. And then other states are following. You know, other states are following our lead. Because I think as we talk about it more and it's studied more and it becomes more of an issue, it will become something that's not a law enforcement issue, but more of a medical issue.
Which is what we're all looking forward to a time where people who use this are not subject to this criminal prosecution system that put my editorial light up here, you know, that really harms the patient, harms their family. You really can't find any cost-benefit analysis for waging war, even on recreational marijuana. It really is, when you compare it to alcohol and tobacco use, you know, they're light years apart. I like to say that a toxic dose of marijuana is a bale large enough that when you drop it on your head, it breaks your neck.
Right, that's very true.
It's the only way it could injure you, that's true.
Okay, now we've had our own struggles here in the city of Santa Cruz. City of Santa Cruz is profoundly liberal on this issue, in terms of, you know, say the votes on 215 or the Measure A that preceded it. And this spring, our Santa Cruz City Council decided to adopt an ordinance that would sort of regulate how marijuana is dealt with medically in the city. Now, when I first saw the language of this ordinance, and it said that a patient would only need to provide a letter from their doctor showing that they had a condition that it's been known to be helped by using medical marijuana. And this is even more liberal than Prop 215 in terms of less restrictive. And I thought, great, about time, you know. And I think that went away before the second reading. And then even after second reading, they pulled it back and said, well, wait, we can't, you know, let this be dispensed near schools or and neighborhoods. And I know this affected you very much, Kate, and Santa Cruz Pharmacy.
Still is.
Yeah.
Still is.
And now we're at a situation where, and this show is being taped on November 1st, 2000, we're in a situation where there hasn't even been an application available for use permit. Or is that different now?
Is the application is, as of the day before yesterday.
Oh,
available.
A news break, folks.
A news break. This is a news flash here that, yes, it is available. There are several problems with it as I see it. One of the problems I see is that it requires you to get an update from your doctor every 6 months. mm-hmm. which is a windfall for the doctors, but mm-hmm. most of our patients are not in a situation to be able to pay to go see a doctor every 6 months.
See, what's troubling to me about that is all the patients that I deal with have conditions that aren't going to improve.
They're terminal.
They're quadriplegics, paraplegics, they have cancer, they have glaucoma, they have MS. It's not going away.
Right.
So to me it seems unfair to have patients even have to go back and renew their letter every year,
mm-hmm.
which is the requirement now.
The other requirement that I think is a little odd is that they're requiring you to have a location already before you can become a bona fide provider association. Well, that's kind of bass-ackwards because the problem being what landlord wants to rent to a group of people who just, well, what do? Well, we give out marijuana. You know, when you're not a licensed provider association, it's impossible to find a landlord who's willing to rent to you. So that's a problem with it. Not to mention the fact that the very bottom line problem is that they want to shunt us off into an industrial area, somewhere where, you know, we've been fighting for years for our patients to be able to hold up their heads and say, look, I'm sick and I'm going to get my medicine. You know, Walgreens dispenses much heavier drugs than marijuana.
Tobacco and alcohol.
Tobacco, alcohol, morphine derivatives, and they can be next to a school.
Mm-hmm.
But we, of course, are going to be treated as if we are dispensing some kind of who knows what. They want our patients to crawl under a rock somewhere and be embarrassed about it.
And there are some other restrictions that you're supposed to have all your staff be actual medical marijuana patients.
And
restrictions on profits.
Right, restrictions on profits. And not only that, since our patients, our staff are all patients, we requested that they be able to medicate at some point during the day because
mm-hmm.
they're all people who need the medication. Refused. They cannot medicate. So here we have to hire patients, and yet they can't use their medicine when they're coming to work.
Mm-hmm. So you have any idea what the forces are that have changed this? You know, what started out like a really good start out of the chute, and you know, are there hidden forces that we're not aware of? Because I don't think this is the constituency of Santa Cruz that is fueling this.
Where's
the police department?
Well, that's where I think you hit it right on the right on the nose. There is general reluctance on the part of law enforcement to enforce this law, Prop 215. The writing's on the wall. As far as I'm concerned, this is just the opening salvo. People are starting to recognize that drugs are not a police problem, but a health problem. And this is just the harbinger of what's to come. and when the people start looking at this in a different way, what's going to happen to the, you know, hundreds of thousands of jobs that come as a result of this being a police action and not a health action? The judges, the clerks in the court, the attorneys, the district attorneys, the public defenders, the law enforcement,
the drug counseling class,
except that we'll still have drug counseling.
Yeah.
And that's what we should have,
yeah.
Right? That's what we should have. What's going to happen to their jobs? They figure that 70% of what goes through the courts is drug-related crime. Imagine what's going to happen.
And most of that's marijuana. I mean,
of it is marijuana.
Because people who use marijuana tend to continue using it.
Well, and not only that,
people who use cocaine go, gee, this is kind of a bad drug.
I mean, I hate to be cynical about this, but my way of looking at it is that they're sitting ducks. They're easy. You know, I mean, basically, people who use marijuana are pretty mellow, and they know that they're, I mean, you know, you don't want to go after the meth lab. They got guns.
Right.
You know? So it's real easy to go after a mellow pot smoker, you know. So,
Kate, if people wanted to get a hold of Santa Cruz Cannabis Pharmaceuticals, how would they get a hold of you?
You can still call us at 460-0420. That's 460-0420. And we're still trying. They are not letting us open in our new location yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still trying to take care of as many patients as we can. It's not it's not easy. Mm-hmm. We're doing our best.
Now, Anita, you don't have like a centralized location where people come to get their medicine dispensed, but you're actually a delivery service.
Right, I provide in-home support.
And you
have
a much smaller clientele.
A much smaller discreet service. So I will give you the number, and people are welcome to call, but I will let them know that I'm very discriminating
mm-hmm.
about who I take on, because I do make house deliveries. It's more of a social
mm-hmm.
work and a provider that I become.
Oh, so you give a lot of
attention and one-on-one
as well.
Right, yes.
Uh-huh.
But the phone number for MedX is 425-3444.
Yeah, and Kate, your organization services quite a large number.
We have a membership of over 1,000, probably 800 of whom are active members, the other 200 being people from all over the state who have come here hearing about the ordinance.
What's going on in the county?
Mm-hmm.
The county of Santa Cruz has Sheriff Mark Tracy set some guidelines. How many plants can a medical marijuana patient grow in their yard? Can you grow in your yard?
I have a perfect story for this. One of our patients was busted just a couple of weeks ago. And Sergeant Hart came to their door, and they invited them in and showed them, because they had their doctor's certificate and everything was in order.
Mm-hmm.
And then he proceeded one by one to rip his 15 plants out of the
mm-hmm.
His pot. And this man saying, well, you know, can't you leave me with something? I need this.
Mm-hmm.
He said, how many plants can I have, Sergeant Hart?
Uh-huh.
Actually, I think it might even be Detective Hart now.
Uh-huh.
Hart says, I don't know.
Let the judge decide. Yeah.
So there
is no protocol right now, and
yeah.
I think that's something that's really lacking. They
it's outrageous.
Either the city council or law enforcement
mm-hmm.
have to
one
come
of the
together.
Boards of supervisors?
Board of supervisors have to come together and do some discussion and come up with a protocol so there's a guideline so people don't have to be in fear of going to jail when they're not intending to do anything wrong. They're just trying to find some comfort and relief.
This is the other fault I find with the ordinance. Other ordinances, for instance, the Oakland ordinance,
mm-hmm.
sets out guidelines as to how many plants you can have.
Okay.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, this is an issue that's between you and your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
We have some patients who are being prescribed by their doctors over an ounce a week.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going through an ounce a week, you know, that's a considerable
a lot.
Amount.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially
and
to keep
vary
us alive.
A lot from patient to patient.
Absolutely.
I want to thank the two of you, Anita Henry,
Becky,
for coming
so
and
much.
Being on Club Cruise, and Kate Wells, all your good work in the community.
Wonderful to be here.
In addition to the Santa Cruz Cannabis Pharmaceuticals.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And thank you so much for watching Club Cruise. Join us every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m.
And who says you need a TV to get the substance of Club Cruise, which is probably one of the few TV shows around with a lot of substance, although I'm not a big community TV watcher, so I miss perhaps a lot of other shows. But hey, that show hasn't even aired yet, and I was able to use my special in with the producer to get that tape. And a timely tape it is, because now is the time to call 420-5017. That's the City Council hotline, folks. Though they'll probably freeze you dead, still, it's worth putting in at least one call and saying, what about it? How about a medical marijuana emergency? Thank you very much. We don't want to have sick people waiting around for a use permit to be granted in 30 to 60 days. We want it done now. 420-5017. 420-5017. Time to declare a medical emergency right now. Where are you, O Green Party member Tim Fitzmaurice? Where are you, Mr. Liberal Environmental Attorney Keith Sugar? And how about you, O former one-time community activist? I'm not even sure if the right word is there, activist. Chris Crone. Not to mention our new council members. Come on, Scott Kennedy, get off the dime. You can lead on this charge. Time for a medical marijuana emergency like they have in San Francisco, or is it Oakland? One of those cities up there, that's one or the other, I believe, has a medical marijuana emergency that allows medical marijuana patients to get their medicine. What's wrong with that? A lot of interviews tonight. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norse, your host tonight. And this is 96.3 FM, and we'll be returning, of course, on Sunday with another edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. And we got another half hour to go before we have to sign off. Actually, Uncle Dennis will probably be in here trooping around and giving us trouble, but we will stay the course until 8 o'clock, and you can call in until 8 o'clock, 427-3772, 427-3772. Again, I remind you, 7 to 9 tonight, Loudon Nelson, we got A Candle of Hope, National Conference on the Death Penalty, organizer Dick Carlberg, Death Penalty Focus of California, Amnesty International, Jubilee Justice of St. Joseph Catholic Church. More info, call Marilyn, 423-7973, or hie thee to the Loudon Nelson Center. Want to see what the old city council is up to? Have a few nostalgic looks at Michael Hernandez and Catherine Byers before they fade away, at least for a year or two, until they come back as the recycled, well-funded council members in 2002. Check out the city council tonight at 7:30. I think Hernandez is probably down for the count and gone, but I'm afraid Byers and Rotkin will be popping up again like bad pennies at 2002. But if you haven't had enough of them, go on down and check them out. Again, as Scott Graham said, they're down at City Council at a special study session tonight, not studying how to deal with homeless people, but helping to make a few restrictions on rich people's homes. I'm not entirely clear, but it has something to do with those homes on the west side. Perhaps this caller can enlighten us.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
I'm actually hoping you can enlighten me. I was under the impression that one couldn't be on the council more than four times, and Rotkin's already served his fourth term. Isn't that the case?
I think it's not that you can't be on the council more than four times, it's you can't serve more than two consecutive terms.
Oh, so you can, like, oh, wow. So
now,
he can run again and again and again?
I believe so. You can run again, and then you have to go away for a year or two, and then you come back, and you run again and again, and win twice, and get a lot of money, people to support you with bucks, and so
wow.
forth. So, I mean, that is my layperson's understanding. I'm not sure. You better, you know, call Leslie Cook as well to get her view for 205030.
All right.
Hey.
Thanks.
Thank you, caller.
I think that is the case. You can run, but you can't serve more than two consecutive terms. But, no, there's no limit on the number of terms you can serve, provided you take a breather every 8 years. Hence, Kennedy's two-year breather. So, I could be wrong about that. Maybe you should call Scott Kennedy and ask him at 457-8003 and have a chat with our new council member, the man who brought you sit on the sidewalk, go to jail, ask for a dime after dark, go to jail. As well, of course, he was guided by Gandhi in all of these things, of course, he will assure you. Or was it by the Downtown Association, the Downtown Business Association? Those are actually two different groups, one of them more conservative than the other. The Downtown Business Association, headed by Michael Vasquez, is more conservative than the Downtown Association, headed by Peter Eberle. However, the question of whether their meetings should be open or not is another question. And the Downtown Association, Eberle's Downtown Association,